Pastor Ray Bentley encourages all of us Christian soldiers.
God wants us to have our eyes bright and our minds clear, and I believe the secret to a longevity of life is a burning, growing passion for the Lord. And my encouragement to all of you is that no matter how long you've been in the battle and how many fights you've had, until we see Jesus face to face and are in the kingdom of heaven, that's how long we have to fight. Hallelujah.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. The Lord has given us many promises in Scripture. Pastor Ray says there are more than 7,000. But how do we embrace those promises? How do we incorporate them into our lives? Well, we can learn some practical lessons from the way the children of Israel entered the Promised Land. And that's what we plan to do today.
Okay, we're going to look at our life lessons, so we'll start off with number one. Joshua chapters 12 through 21, the dispersion of the land to all the 12 tribes. Two things stand out in this record. Number one, the Lord gave the victory. The Lord is the one that gave the victory to the children of Israel in the past when they took conquest of the land called Canaan. But just remember this. All of the glory, all of the honor for the victories in our lives. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen? We don't take credit for what God has done. So number two, the second thing that we learn from this record of the ancient promised land and is echoed again in the times that we live now, Joshua obeyed the Lord completely. Now Israel's plan here was to divide the country in half. Jericho's right in the middle of Canaan, and then they could divide and conquer and go to the cities to the north and the cities to the south. So Joshua chapter 11, I want you to note in verse 4 that when Israel went in, being led by the Spirit of God to go against the Canaanites, they were outnumbered every single time. But yet God gave them the victory. Look, sometimes, here's one of the great strategies of the enemy. He makes it look like he's got the numerical advantage. And there's more of the enemy than there are of you. He wants us to hunker down. He wants us to, you know, kind of be on the defensive. He wants us to just be afraid. And then he is on the offense and he's on the attack. But here's what you need to know. This is what God revealed to Joshua at the very beginning. Before they ever even started going into the conquest of the land, Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel, God's people, was met by a man when he went out to pray alone, away from the camp and away from the leaders of the tribes and the armies. And he met a man who was standing there with a sword. And Joshua looked at him and he said, "Who is this warrior? Are you for us or are you against us?" And he said, "Neither. I am the commander of the armies of the Lord." And when Joshua saw that, he fell on his face and he began to worship. We believe that that commander of the armies of the Lord was a theophany. It was an appearance of God in the Old Testament, that it was none other than an encounter with Jesus Christ. I believe Joshua saw Jesus, but Jesus said, "I'm the commander of the armies of the Lord." So here's what I want you to know. When Satan, who was an archangel, Lucifer rebelled against God. The Bible tells us exactly how many angels fell with him to rebel against God and follow his philosophy that we can all be gods. 1/3 of the angels. What that means is 2/3 to this hour have remained loyal to God. The reality in the spiritual, supernatural realm that is all around us is there are more who are with us than there are with them and with the enemy. We always have the numeric advantage. Joshua didn't see the millions of angels who were there, but that's why the walls of Jericho came crashing down. That's why they went from victory to victory, because when the Lord is on your side, you have all the advantage that you need. Can I hear an amen on that? So the Lord encouraged Joshua, do not be afraid. Physically, it looks like they have more, but spiritually, you need to know there are more that are with you, and tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Now, go with me to chapter 13, and let's go to our next life lesson. Now, Joshua was old and advanced in years. So then the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. Sometimes God says the obvious, you know. And there remains very much land yet to be possessed. That tells us something. Joshua is feeling his age. So here's what the enemy will do with an anointed called effective son of God or a daughter of God. He'll say, look, you have fought enough battles. You have prayed enough. Why don't you kick back, just relax, stop fighting, and let somebody else do it. And so here's Joshua. His whole life he's been battling. And he, you know, when he was 40, he was ready to go into the promised land, and then they wouldn't. And then he had to go through the wilderness for 40 years, and then his whole generation died. And now when he's 80, he goes into the promised land. Now more battles when he's 80. He's like, I'm old and I'm tired and I'm kind of done. So what I believe the Lord was saying when he said, I know that you're old and advanced, he's telling Joshua, I know what you're thinking. And I know that you're discouraged. And I want you to know, Joshua, I'm not done with you yet. You've got more battles to fight. There's more land to be taken, more territory, more inheritance, son, for you to gain. Now, here's the life application for you and me. What the land was to Israel, there's still more land because they had basically conquered all of the major king cities, let's say. But there were little villages that still had to be fought to make the whole operation complete. What the land was to Israel, Jesus is to us. We are to keep pressing on to have all of Jesus. And no matter how much you and I have of him, there's more of him to be known and lived in our lives. There are yet strongholds in our lives where we are young, where we are immature, where we have not fully surrendered to the Lord. God wants to complete what he has started, and he will not stop or let up until we are completely formed into the image of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen on that? Okay, let's go on now to the next life lesson. Okay, so we read in verse 8, it says, with the other half-tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses had given them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them. Now go to verse 15, and it says, and Moses had given to the tribe of the children of Reuben an inheritance according to their families and their territory, and then go down to verse 24. And Moses also had given an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the children of Gad, according to their families. Here's the life lesson, and I'll talk about it in just a moment. Do not become a borderline believer. Do not become a borderline believer. What do I mean by that? Well, we're talking about inheritance. Their inheritance was this land that God said, I'm going to bless the land. I'm going to make it fruitful. And I'm going to make your families fruitful. And I'm going to make you filled with joy and happiness. I want a whole nation with a whole blessed land, with a whole blessed agricultural life and spirit and joy. And I'm going to use that blessed nation to provoke jealousy to all the other nations of the earth, that they will forsake their idols that they have been worshiping and return to worship the true and the living God. That's what God wanted them to do. So this was their inheritance. God had taken the land of Canaan. He goes, okay, now, after it's conquered, I'm going to give this tribe this portion of the land of Canaan, and then this tribe that portion. And so he divided it up with 12 parts to 12 tribes. That makes sense. But did you know there were three tribes that said, so this is the land that God wants to give us in the boundary, the borders of the promised land? Thank you, but no thank you. actually, we like the land on the other side of the Jordan, the eastern side of the Jordan. It's a lot prettier over here, and we would rather live here. Thanks, God, for offering that, but we want to live over there. They asked for the land, this land, outside the boundaries of Canaan, and why did they want to do that? Because it looked better to them. There were too many battles, more giants, and it would be easier for them to live on the east side of the Jordan. And on top of that, it was especially suited to raising cattle. And they wanted to raise cattle. So what was God's will for Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh? His will was the land that he had set aside and apportioned for them in the promised land. And they said, no, thank you, we would rather be over here. And God allowed it. But was it his first choice? Was it what he really wanted? Now, let me ask you something. All of you that have children, has there ever come a time that your kids demanded something from you and they complained and you didn't want that for them? But because, look, they're little psychologists. They work you. They work you. Come on, I need it. I have it. Everybody at school has it. I'm the only one that doesn't. You hate me. And finally, for you, you know, it's like, oh, okay, it's not going to kill them. And you give in to them. It's not your first choice. It's not what you wanted, but you give in to their little terrorist demands, and off they go. Okay, so that's all happened to us in varying degrees of importance. But this is on a big level. And what I want to say to you is, I want to give you a warning. Because God, you know, he allowed it. It doesn't say he wanted it. It doesn't say they said, okay, Lord, help change our minds or our hearts. They went over there. And what's sad is their location made them extremely vulnerable now that they're on the east side of the Jordan to two things. Number one, they were extremely vulnerable to military attack, because now if from the east empires like the ancient Babylonians or the Persians or whoever else want to come against them, who is the first tribes that they're going to be meeting? Who are the first ones going to get attacked by an army? Who are the first ones that are going to be threatened? Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So number one, they were extremely vulnerable to military attack. And number two, they were vulnerable to ungodly influence. Now they're on the other side of the border that God had promised to them. And they're surrounded by and exposed to and their children to the godlessness, the immorality, the practices, the witchcraft, the occult, the sacrifices to foreign gods, and may I say, demons. And I'm going to give you a scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Eventually, both of these liabilities brought the downfall of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They paid dearly for demanding of God, and God gave in to them, but it wasn't his first choice. It wasn't the best choice. So the application for you and I cannot tell you in the times that I've been a pastor how often I have been approached by, you know, a well-meaning Christian, say, can I be a Christian and do this? Can I be a Christian and still do that? Well, there's no litmus test in the Bible. And I say, well, look, that's not going to necessarily keep you out of heaven. But, you know, I'm always wanting to try to tell them, but listen, you know, your body is a temple of the Lord in your mind. And what you may be exposing, you try to warn them or whatever. And some people listen and say, but they get that, hey, I can still go to heaven. I'm going to live on the borderline or across even the border. And I have seen casualties. So I think this is a good lesson for us. Do not be a borderline believer, and avoid, you know, needless attacks mentally, emotionally. You're vulnerable to the spiritual attacks of the enemy, depression, anxiety, fear, worry, spiritual warfare, unbelievable. So avoid that at all costs. Okay, let's go on to chapter 14 and to the next life lesson. This is from the life of Caleb. Now we're going to focus for a moment in chapter 14 on Caleb. And this is what Caleb says. Give me the mountains. I'm ready to defeat the giants in the name of the Lord. Oh, I love this guy. I love Joshua and I love Caleb. So we read of Caleb, chapter 14, verse 10. It says, and now, and this is Caleb talking, behold, the Lord has kept me alive As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, and I'm 85 years old. As yet, he says, at 85, I am as strong today as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then when I was 40, so now is my strength for war. At 85, I'm ready to go to war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, because I am as strong now as I was when I was 40 and I'm 85, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What you need to know is that the Anakim are the giants. At 85 years old, Caleb did not look for an easy task suited to an old man. He didn't say, well, I've fought my battles, I've taken my mountains, I've faced my giants, let the next generation do it. No, he said, Joshua, I'm as strong now as I was as a young man in my 40s. And he goes, I want you to give me a mountain. I want to take on a mountain, and I want to conquer a giant, and I'm going to take him out in the name of the Lord and the power of God as I follow him. I want you to notice at 85, he was leading the fight. And not against just any foe, but against the Anakim giants. And I want to suggest to you, this is how God wants us to be in our spiritual life as we advance in years. Growing older, but never weaker in Jesus Christ. Growing more passionate and laying a foundation and laying an example. Look, you say, well, how long do we have to keep fighting? Well, as long as you are breathing, as long as you are on this earth, and until we see Jesus face to face and are in the kingdom of heaven, that's how long we have to fight. And the moment that we give in, and the moment we say, I'm going to take it easy, and oh, I'm going to pass it on to the next generation, that may not be a healthy way to live. God wants us to be vigorous. He wants us to have our eyes bright and our minds clear. And I believe the secret to a longevity of life is a burning, growing passion for the Lord. And my encouragement to all of you is that no matter how long you've been in the battle and how many fights you've had, that you say, I want the next mountain. I'm ready for the next giant. That will keep you alive and filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Caleb's secret is found back in verse 8, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And then the last one, let's go to the last life lesson real quick. And here's what's exciting, to have that kind of attitude, I'm going to take it to the enemy right now, I'm going on the offense. Caleb's daring faith ignited blessing into the next generation. The greatest gift that the older generation can bring to the younger generation is the spirit of Caleb. Give me the mountain. I'm ready to take on the giants. So we read in chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, it says, now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak. That means three giants. And they're named Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, and the children of Anak. And then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give, and I might add, my beautiful daughter Aksa, my daughter as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she, the daughter of Caleb, came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish, my daughter? And she answered, give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the south. Give me also springs of water. And so he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. I love this, because by Caleb taking the mountain, taking on the giants, it inspired his son-in-law, Othniel, who said, now I'm going to take on a mountain, and I'm going to take on a giant. And Othniel married Caleb's daughter. She grew up with her father, Caleb. And so now she has the faith to say, now I want a field. I want my own farm. And I want the springs and blessings to go along with it. Dad, I'm following you. I'm going to live like you. And that's the way the generation should go. One burning torch, passionate, on fire generation, igniting the next generation so that they have the same spirit, the same heart, the same attitude. I am now, Dad, I'm going to join you. I'm going to take a field. I'm going to see it blessed with the springs of the Lord. I'll climb my mountains and we'll take on our giants until they're gone and the kingdom of heaven has come to the earth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The greatest legacy we can pass on to our children is a vibrant, passionate, burning faith all the way until we see the Lord face to face. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Is there anyone here that has been discouraged and full of anxiety and worry and fear? But the Lord is speaking to you this morning and you hear it clearly. And it makes obvious sense. And it awakens something inside you. It ignites something inside you. The best way, the biblical way to describe it is something begins to burn in your mind. Something burns within your heart. And all of a sudden you realize, man, I've been afraid. I've been intimidated. I've been cowering. I'm going to stop that nonsense. I'm ready to move out in faith. I'm ready, Lord, to trust in you. I'm ready to take more ground for Christ. I'm ready to grow. I'm getting out of this pit of pity and despair, and I'm going to follow you. If that describes you, and I'd like to pray especially for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, there are many who have been, they're tired, they're weary. Just like Joshua said, I'm old and advanced in years. And you acknowledged, I understand, Joshua, this is how you feel. But, son, you have much territory that remains to be taken. I'm not done with you, son, and I am with you, and I will go before you, and I will bless you if you will stand up and start marching forward and walking in the Spirit, and you will see I will bring your enemy down before you. Lord, may a fire be lit, ignited, and burn within all the generations of all of your children who hear this message this day and receive your call, that you would be lifted up and that you would be glorified, and that, Lord, we would see your name sanctified on the earth and your honor vindicated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with an important prayer to close our study time in Joshua today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for This Land is Our Land. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention that title, This Land is Our Land. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key, and there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.